If you'll turn in your Bibles, please, to chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians. Chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians. Corinthians was a seaport town, one of the vilest cities of the ancient world. Most of the problems that we read about in the early church happened at Corinth. But it's amazing that God was so at work in this great city. And two of the great books of the Bible come to us from that place, from Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Now, we believe the Bible to be the only infallible rule for faith and practice. The only way to know God's will and God's way is to go to God's Word. Listen, hear what God had to say to us as He speaks to the Corinthians. Paul is writing, "Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." That's our text for today, verse 3. Our meditation is entitled, God's Junk Mail. Our text, you show that you are a letter from Christ. You are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. May God bless to us this reading from His holy word. And to His name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Father, speak to us today in a relevant way through this Scripture. Make it real to us so that we can understand it and apply it to our lives. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you much of a letter writer? And do you know who writes the most letters? It is people who are in love. Our oldest son, Mark, was in the Persian Gulf for 6 months back during that fiasco. But back here in Chicago was a young lady, and the two of them had become engaged and were very much in love. They're getting married on the 23rd here in the sanctuary. She had to number her letters to him because they often came in great packets. They didn't come every day. And she wrote every day, so she had to number the letters so he'd know which one to read. I thought that was pretty funny. I laughed about it until my wife reminded me of the summer we were dating in 1974. And that summer I went to Switzerland for a 2-week conference. And frankly, that was the last place I wanted to be. I was miserable. You see, I was in love. And every day I wrote letters to Sydney. And every day I haunted the post office hoping to get a letter. As it turned out, the time it took to transport the letters between America and Europe was such that neither of us got very many letters from the other until weeks after we had gotten home. Recently, our daughter Amy has gone to work in New York City. And well, frankly, I have a lot of concerns about that, about our safety. So as any worried father who loves his daughter would do, I write her frequently, always warning her, "Sweetheart, be careful. Dad." So it's a matter of fact that the person who loves is the person who's going to write. The person in love is the one who wants to communicate with the object of that love. In that sense of the word, our God is a lover. He loves us so much that He wants to communicate with us. He wants to tell us that He loves us. Have you ever thought of God in that way as God, as a lover. Yet what was the very first Bible verse you remembered? Wasn't it, God is love? And next you learn, God so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Didn't you learn those early on? Maybe you never thought of it quite this way before, but Jesus is a letter from God that says, I love you, I care about you, you are important to me. And whoever you are this morning, God's letter is addressed to you. Do you remember how the verse read? God sent His one and only Son that whoever, that's addressed to resident, whoever believes shall have eternal life. And there's something in your spiritual mailbox this morning. There's a letter from God. And that letter from God says that He loves you and that you, whoever you are important to God. It's really not marked resident. It's got your name on it. So the first point I want to make is that God is a letter sender because God is in love with you and He sent His Son Jesus as His letter to you to say, this is how much I love you. The second point I want to make is this, every Christian is also a letter sent to the world from God. Every Christian is a way God has of saying that He loves people. Do you remember how our scripture for this morning put it? It says, you are a letter from Christ. You are a letter from Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Now, the third point I want to make this morning is this. What kind of letter from God are you as a Christian? What kind of letter are you as a Christian? The Bible says that a Christian is a letter sent from Christ, and the Bible says, known and read by everybody. Did you know everybody was reading your mail? So what kind of a letter from Christ are you? Do you get much junk mail at your house? I know I do. I think I do. My wife gets the mail early, and when I come home, I say, where's the mail? She says, it's in the wastebasket. I say, wasn't there anything of letter? Well, that was one card. There it is. She's already pitched the junk mail. And every day here at the church, I get a mailbox full of junk mail. Now, how do you handle your junk mail? I usually stand at the wastebasket, and as I go through my mail, I just ignore it and begin to pitch most of the mail. Do you do that? I think I must be on every mailing list there is in all of the country. Let me ask you a question. How much of the mail from Christ is junk mail? Now, we've already said that you and I are letters from Christ. Known and read by everybody. So how many of us qualify as junk mail from God? Well, the thought occurs to me that if the world does with its junk mail what I do with my junk mail and probably what you do with your junk mail, that is, pitch it and pay no attention to it, then the world isn't paying too much attention to us junk mailers from God. We Christians aren't getting much attention in the world today. Personally, I think that's why the world often pays little attention to us Christians, like Jimmy Swaggart, or who seems to have a sexual obsession, or Jim Baker, who's just a crook. We turn out to be junk mail from God. Do you think it would make a big difference in the world if we Christians were all first-class letters from God? You know, I would like for my life to be a first-class letter from God that says, look, world, here is what God can do with a poor, broken, lost sinner like Andy Jumper. Now, let me suggest some ways you and I can become first-class letters from the Lord. And the first suggestion I would make is this: give your heart to God. Now, that seems a simple thing to do, but it isn't. Have you done that? Have you given your heart truly, really to God? You see, if I don't do that, then something begins to happen to my heart, and it gets hard towards God. Have you ever had that happen to you? Do you remember the story in the Old Testament about the Egyptian Pharaoh and the children of Israel? And God pled with him and did all kinds of plagues to get him to release the children of Israel. And the Bible says the Pharaoh's heart was hardened toward God. And the Bible says that sometimes the disciples didn't understand the parables that Jesus was teaching them. Do you know why? Because the Bible says over in Mark, but their hearts were hardened. Does your heart ever get hardened towards God? The Bible says, but their hearts were hardened. Does your heart get that way? Mine does. Sometimes I want the things I want, not what God wants. And my heart gets hard towards God because I don't want to do what God wants me to do. Over in Hebrews 3:8, we're warned, today when you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. So often I turn out to be junk mail from God because I haven't given my heart to God. Too often I don't want to live God's way or do God's will. I don't want to surrender control of my life to God. Just to give God total control of my life seems threatening to me. Just say, Lord, here's my life. Do whatever you will with it. That is so threatening to me. Do you ever feel that way? So that leads us to the second clue of being a first-class letter from God. You see, not only must we give our hearts to God, we must let the Holy Spirit control our hearts. Who tells your heart what to do this morning? Who's in control of your life? Who's got control of your heart? Who tells your heart what to do this morning? Do you remember in the second chapter of Acts how the Bible tells us Peter preached about Jesus to the Jews on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 people responded? Now, how'd that happen? The Bible tells us simply, now when they heard this, they were cut to their hearts. Their hearts weren't hard towards God. They gave Him their hearts and the Holy Spirit cut their hearts. They were simply letting the Holy Spirit control their lives. Now, who's in control of your life this morning? When it comes to desires or lusts or needs or even wants, who writes the commands? Who writes the orders that control your life? You remember our text for this morning? You show that you are a letter from Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. The other day I read an illustration that compared life to an automobile. The problem is, said the writer, most of us have God as a spare tire in the trunk when He wants to be the driver that controls the direction of our lives. And I'm going to tell you, that struck a note with me. Too often God is my spare tire that I get out only in times of emergency or when life goes flat or when cancer goes crazy. Do you have that problem too? Is God often just someone to get out in times of emergency? Run around the back of the car and say, okay, God, get out. I need you now. Or is God really the driver? The one directing and controlling your life? The third clue to being a first-class letter from God is letting God write His law on our hearts. Give your heart to God, let the Holy Spirit control it, and then let the Holy Spirit write God's law on your heart. When I try to do the things of God on my own, I end up being junk mail from God. You see, the third clue tells me to do some rather impossible things. The Bible says, turn your other cheek. The Bible says, go the second mile. The Bible says to love my enemies. It tells me to be merciful, to be pure in heart, and a lot of other things I can't do on my own. And you know what? When I try to do those things on my own, I end up being junk mail from God. And I know that's true for you as well as it is for me. On our own, we just can't do the things of God. We can't. We just can't be the people God wants us to be. But the Bible tells us an amazing thing. It says that when we open our hearts to God's Spirit, the Spirit begins to write God's laws on our hearts. Now, let me tell you, that makes all the difference in the world. You see, it is one thing for my mind to tell me to do something, but it's entirely different when my heart tells me to do something. Hasn't that been true in your life? Remember when you fell in love with your spouse? You remember that? And you wanted to do all sorts of foolish things for that person? Not because it made any sense to you mentally, but because your heart told you to do it, and you did it. Does that make sense to you? When we let the Holy Spirit write God's law on our hearts, we're living the way God wants us to live, not because we must, not because we have to, but because in our hearts we really want to. I read a story the other day about a traveler who met a monk, and he was hungry, and he asked the monk if he would share his food with him, and the monk opened his bag and shared his food with him, and the traveler saw in the monk's bag a very precious stone, and he said to the monk, "Wow, would you give me that stone?" And the monk said, "Of course I will," and he gave it to him. And the traveler departed overjoyed with this unexpected gift. A few days later, however, he came back in search of the monk. He really was a wise man, and he gave the monk back the stone. And he made this request. He said, "Brother, please give me something more precious than this stone. Please give me that which enabled you to give me the stone in the first place." Yes, God's impossible demands, written by the Holy Spirit on our hearts. And we want to do the things of God. So those are some clues for being first-class mail from God. A lot of us are just second-class mail or third-class, and some of us are just junk mail. But the person who gives his heart to God, who lets the Holy Spirit control his life, and who lets the Spirit write God's law on his heart, is a person who's going to be a wonderful Christian, a first-class letter from God. Now let me conclude with two just real quick thoughts. At the post office, they have something called the dead letter office. The dead letter office deals with letters that turn out to be undeliverable. For whatever reason, there's no way to deliver them. Maybe it's a bad address, or that person has moved and left no forwarding address, or whatever. And sometimes I think a lot of us Christians are dead letters. We're dead letters that can't be delivered. Right now, we're in the final stages of our financial campaign for 1992. And by the way, if you haven't gotten your pledge in, I'd suggest to you that you do that right away. Do you realize there are several hundred members in this church whose names are on our rolls, who in the past 12 months have never worshipped here, in the past 12 months have never given a dollar, a penny, not a penny, to support the work of this church? Are they God's dead letters? I can't say, because I'm not qualified to make that judgment. God made me a preacher, not a judge. But I do believe that there are a lot of people who have their name on some church roll somewhere who claim to be Christians, who never attend, who never give, who in reality are spiritual dead letters. And if you had to classify yourself this morning, what class mail would you be? Now, The second quick thought I wanted to share with you is this. What else besides the address do you put on a letter? Don't you put the return address? If you're a first-class letter from God, you've got God's return address on your life. Maybe you never thought of it before, but junk mail is never returned. Only a first-class letter is guaranteed to be returned to the sender. Let me ask you a question this morning. Does your life have God's return address on it? You know, lately that question has gotten more and more relevant to me. God sent me into the world, I know that. But does he have his return address stamped on me? You see, I'm the one that determines that. And when my time comes, do I have God's return address on me? Dr. H.E. Luckock once described two persons whose death made the papers of their time at about the same time. The first was a woman who died in London. She was famous as the best-dressed woman in Europe, and she left behind over 1,000 dresses. Can you imagine? Looks like my wife's closet. Don't tell her I said that. The second person was a man who died in London also. He had one suit, blue with a red collar. It was William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army. He had one costume, not 1,000. But he lived a life that inspired millions. Now, which of those two persons do you feel reasonably sure had God's return address on him or her? And how about you? What kind of letter from God are you? Are you junk mail? Or are you working on being a first-class letter?